state authorities to reason him away. He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who'll face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who'll fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men. He calls the vilest sinner whose lives have been renewed. Calls the ones who have the strength to stand up for the truth. Enlistment lines are open and he wants you to come in. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who'll fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who'll fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men who'll die for freedom and honor once again. Just needs a few good men.
I'll say a few things while you're turning there. As I said, I'll be going over some things tonight, Lord willing, about last year, and I hope that you'll be sure and be here. You don't want to miss service tonight. You'll enjoy it, I hope, and believe. And make your plans to be with us. I'll hurry right along here this morning. I'm not like some of these preachers. I don't know how they've got it down to a fine art about how long to preach. I never have been able to do that just right. I try to give what God has given me. I heard about this one preacher. He kept, he preached 21 minutes. Every time he got up, 21 minutes exactly. Never less, never more, every Sunday morning. And the people that went to his church, they were amazed at that. They said, they bragged about it to their friends. They said, you just wouldn't believe our preacher. It's amazing how he can do that. Just preach 21 minutes. And one day he preached an hour and 15 minutes. He finally quit and somebody came up to him and they said, Pastor, you always preach 21 minutes exactly. He said, what happened today? He said, we never could figure out how you do that anyway. He said, well, what I do is right before I get up to preach, I always put a cough drop in my mouth. And he said, that cough drop lasts exactly 21 minutes. And when it's gone, then I know it's time to quit. And they said, this morning I've reached my pocket and got a button in there. And he'd been sucking on that button for an hour and 15 minutes and it never did go away. So I ain't got no button or no cough drop or nothing. Never do. I couldn't stand preaching a cough drop in my mouth. I'd be afraid I'd get a big wind and bang somebody in the head with it. I have heard of preachers getting real excited, you know, and saying, about biting their teeth, and teeth go out and catch them while he's preaching. That's the truth. I've heard that. I've heard it. I don't know if it's the truth, but I've heard it. It's the truth that I've heard it, but I don't know that it's true that it happened. But I got to start over this morning in the book of Genesis. And I got to thinking about this week starting over. New year. I'm glad there is such thing as a new year. It's start all over again. Wouldn't it be awful if days just kept going and going and going and going? You didn't know what day it was, or year it was, or month it was, and you'd get bogged down. But New Year gives us a chance to just say, all right, let's slow down here. Take a look at ourselves. Take stock. Look at my life. Look at my priorities. Look at where I put the emphasis, and let's see if I can get some things in line here. And, it's kind of like laying the axe down and spitting on your hands and picking it back up and going at it again. That's what New Year is, starting over. And I'm glad there is such a thing. If there wasn't a New Year on the calendar, we'd have to make one, I'm sure. I started through in my Old Testament again this morning, read those first chapters of Genesis. Boy, the Lord spoke to my heart. It's just as good this morning as probably as I've ever read it, just this morning. I'm glad that the Word of God in 1995 is still fresh, still real, still feeds your soul, and it's just what you need in this year. If you have never read the Bible all the way through and studied it, you're not an educated person. No man is truly educated without a thorough knowledge of the Word of God. Well, this comes from your Creator. You can't have an education without knowing what your Creator said about life and about death and about eternity. And so I hope that you'll get in it this year. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on the subject, some people who started over. Some people who started over. This is very important. This message is not just for those who, normally when you think about starting over, you think about somebody who's made a mess out of their life and starting over. That's not always the way it is when you start over, as in the case of this first man that I'll mention. Genesis chapter 6, we see a man here. One of the most well-known men in history and the Bible is Noah. Genesis chapter 6, look at verse 17. Genesis 6 and verse 17, God told this man Noah, He said, Noah, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something that I've never done before. Tell you the truth, I've about had it up to here with this bunch of people. All they want to do is party and have a good time and get drunk and puke and roll over in it. And he said, I'm sick of it, tell you the truth. And he said, I'm going to send a flood and drown the whole mess. The Bible said Noah was one man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord said, okay, I ain't going to destroy you. And here's what he told him. And behold, verse 17, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. He had 120 years to work from the time God told him that to the time the flood came. That puts this boy right at 480 when God told him he's going to have to start all over again. 480 years old. That's an old dude, you know it? You say, well, Brother Danny, how come they lived so long back then? Well, there's a lot of reasons that I won't take time to get into. One thing, before the flood, the atmosphere wasn't all out of whack. Well, the sun's rays were not like they are now. And there was a protective, like the ozone layer, around the earth. And so people lived 600, 700, 800, 900 years old. Then after the flood came, that was destroyed. Matter of fact, some Bible teachers even believe that the flood is what knocked the earth and made it tilt on its axis. And it's kind of been a little bit out of whack ever since, weather-wise. And the reason that's why people started dying younger right after the flood. But now, Noah, 480 years old, ain't a spring chicken even before the flood. And God told Noah, He said, Noah, you're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose everything you've got. You've got to start all over when you're 600 years old. It'd be like now taking maybe somebody 80 years old, 70 years old, and saying, you must start life all over again. Do you realize this, ladies and gentlemen? There are a lot of people we think, well, so-and-so was on drugs or so-and-so this, and they made a new start. Well, that's wonderful, but did you know sometimes when you're 50 and 60 and 70, you've got to make a new start? You ever thought about this? especially, what am I talking about? I'm talking about when you lose your job. Many people have went in when they reached a certain age and were given the shaft at work. They were saying, oh, you're no longer needed, or we've got a computer that replaced you and is going to do your job now. I guess one of the worst ways that an older person must start over is when they become a widow or a widower. When that mate dies. When you've been with somebody 40 years, sometimes 50 years, and then walk in the house and their seat is empty. Let me say something to all you people in that condition. We have several widows here in our church. We have people here who had to start life all over again at a late stage in life. Just when you thought that you was going to sit back and retire and enjoy things. Just when you thought, well, the kids is grown. Thank God they're out of here. We don't have to see them but once a week. We're finally going to have a little money in the bank. Something happens like that. Maybe you lose your house, your job, your health, or your mate, spouse, and you have to start life all over again. Noah here in the Word of God, Bible said that he went through the flood. Look at chapter 7 and verse 23. I'm just still giving the introduction here now. Chapter 7, verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. Noah only remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. Noah says, God, am I ever going to get out of here? Lord says, sure, man, you're going to get out. Noah said, what's the world going to look like when I get out? And his wife said, is our house going to be there? And he said, no, honey, our house is gone. She said, what about Walmart? He said, nope, they ain't going to be there neither. She said, well, where am I going to get pantyhose and makeup? He said, honey, I'm the only one who's going to see you, so really, I don't reckon you need none. And she said, well, where are we going to buy groceries? He said, we're going to have to dig us up a garden and raise some. We'll starve to death. Well, I sure is lucky it's not this modern generation. They would have starved to death. Well, I know these kids nowadays think biscuits grow on a biscuit bush. And when they get good and brown, you go out and pick them up and put them in the microwave and heat them up. You plant little baby biscuits or pieces of dough, and they come up. I tell you what they knew. They knew they was going to have to start life all over again. 600 years old and have to start life over again. Why am I saying that? I want to say something to our elderly folks. Let me say something to our senior citizen. We have a man here in our church here this morning just lost a son a week or so ago. We have you ladies who have lost husbands. We have people here that have just lost loved ones. And you think, how can I ever go on? I want to tell you something good this morning. The flood dried up, but Noah didn't. Amen? Noah didn't just curl up in a corner somewhere and say, oh well, all is lost. I'm 600 years old. I'm too old to start all over again. He come out of that ark. Let me show you what he did. Look at chapter 8 and verse 14. Let me show you what Noah did when he come out of the ark. Have you ever wondered what he did? First thing he did when he got out, he didn't do a lot of things people might think. Chapter 8 and verse 14 said this. I mean, before he ever tried to get a job, before he did anything. I'm sorry. Chapter 7 and verse 14, right? Well, somewhere around in there, you find it. You're the one supposed to know your Bible. 8:20. There you go, 8:20. There it is. I was looking at the wrong page. Chapter 8 and verse number 20. Bible said this. And Noah building an altar unto the Lord. He built an altar to the Lord. And took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart. See there? God heard him. Let me tell you something. This old boy, 601 years old. 601. He didn't come out of that ark and say, woe is me. Look at everything. It's all gone. I'm 600 years old. I might as well just sit up here and dry up like the flood did. And I'll just sit around and do nothing. That old boy come out. He went to work. He got him a hammer and a saw and maybe some nails. And he built an altar out of some rock. He put every rock in place. And he went out, and them animals doesn't have babies, but then, you know, and he got him a sacrifice, and he killed one of them, and he got down, and he said, "Dear God, I just come to worship you today." He didn't say, "Oh, there's no churches. I ain't got nowhere to go to church. All the churches got washed away. All the preachers did too. There's a bunch of hypocrites. Nobody was in the ark but me. I'll just forget about it." No, he come right out of there. He built him a little church. He worshiped God with his family. He led his family in worship. You say, "Preacher, my husband died. What am I going to do?" I'll tell you what to do, sister. Get you alive, man. Get you alive. Go to church. Worship God. Honor God. Start all over again. Honor God. Don't sit around the house and dry up. Live for Jesus. Get something done for the glory of God. You know, I heard about this old lady one time, and she wanted to do something for the Lord. She couldn't preach. She couldn't conduct services in churches. And you know what she done? She used to go to these rest homes and some of these men in rest homes, like my barber uptown, the guy usually cuts my hair. He goes to rest home and cuts these old guys' hair. They can't get out. They don't want to be in there looking like old hippies and woolly buggers in there in the rest home. And so they go in there and shave them and give them a haircut. And you know what? She went in there and she'd go in there and she'd shave all these old men. I don't know if she was hunting a boyfriend or what, but anyway, that's her ministry. That's what the Lord gave her to do. She'd go in there and they couldn't shave. She'd take a razor and shave them. And while she had them lean back like that with all that lather on their face and shaving them, she'd witness to them. You know, that's a good way to witness somebody. You got a razor right at their throat. "Hey, old timer, dost thou feel the Spirit striving with thee?" You know. "I'm a little nervous with this thing, you know." He said, "Yes, I believe anything you say, you know. I wouldn't want somebody with a razor at my throat like that." But she witnessed. She witnessed. She witnessed. She witnessed. John Wesley, the great preacher, when he was 83 years old, rode a horse miles and miles, preached 4 or 5 times a day. And boy, here's some of you sitting here this morning. You think because you're past 40 that you just, "Oh, well, my time is gone. I'll just sit back and let the young people do it. I'm going to just take it easy." Listen, some of you 50s and 60s and 70 year old ought to be getting your second wind and jumping up like old Caleb in the Old Testament and jump up and say, "I want that mountain. I want to do something for Jesus. I want to sing. I want to run the aisles. I want to shout and give my testimony." You run the aisle every now and then, you might live a little bit longer, you know. Keep that heart pumping, amen. Don't run it too much, though, right to start with. We don't want to carry you out of here. But I'll tell you what, Noah was on that boat for a year. He could have dried up. He could have said, "No use in me trying to do anything." He could have said, "Oh well, I'm not young anymore, so I'll just..." But he made a new start. There is no use sitting around feeling sorry for yourself, wallowing in your own pity. Get up and do something for God. God's blessed you. He wants you to start all over and live your life for Him in 1995. Amen? Yes, sir. That's the devil to make you just sit around and worry about yourself all the time. He was in the boat for a solid year, brother, and come out and there wasn't no stores. There wasn't no meals. There wasn't no factory. There wasn't nothing. Can you imagine? Where'd they take a bath out on that boat for a year? Confucius say, "He who crosses ocean and come back and cross ocean again without taking bath is dirty double crosser." That's the way Noah was. That's the way Noah was, man. Can you imagine being cooped up in there for a solid year, brother? A year! But he come out and he said, "Well, glory to God, God's been good to me. I'm 600 years old. I can't hardly lift. Hey, boys, lift these rocks in place. Get this altar built. Everybody, bring brethren we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God." Noah started all over again at 600 years old and made a life for himself and lived for God. Let me show you another one. Turn to Judges chapter 14. Show you a second man. Give me just a tad on this one, Brother Roy. Judges chapter 14. This man's name is Samson. Now listen, brother. Samson started over and over and over. There's probably some of you like that here this morning. You'd say, "Well, Brother Danny, I started over in last year and blowed it." Well, you probably didn't start over no more than Samson did. Every time he turned around, he's starting over and Sometimes he's in worse mess than he was first time. But he finally made it, and God helped him and blessed him. But this old boy here, he started over. Now you know what happened in Samson's life here? All you young people need to take a lesson from Samson, especially you boys. Here, the Bible tells us here about Samson. I mean, he had the heavyweight title, brother. But he couldn't handle them girls. He's like Mike Tyson. I mean, he could punch somebody out, but he couldn't leave girls alone. That's his problem, see? He was a little weak boy. He's a wimp. Because, listen, being strong don't mean how big your muscles are. Being strong is being able to have power over your own body. See? If you take somebody like Mike Tyson, a little sissy like him, he says, hey, man, I'll punch you out, man, all that. Well, if a man can't even hold his temper, some little creep like Axel, you know, Axel on Guns N' Roses, who hits girls with wine bottles, you know, it takes a little sissy boy to go around hitting girls with wine bottles, don't it? What's the matter, you little spaghetti? Can't you find a boy that'll fight you? That's the kind of sissies them little rock singers are. Of course, there ain't no bigger than this right here because of cocaine. You know, a girl can probably whip you. Boy, y'all are worrying me. I ought to get a good old New Year's Day amen right there. Amen? I mean, a guy that can't keep his hands off the girl, he don't have power over his own self. He ain't got no business fighting nobody else. You say, that makes me uncomfortable. That's because you're one of these people that I'm talking about, see? Like Michael Jackson. Did you hear him and his wife done divorcing? Lordy mercy. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. If they accused me of molesting little boys, I'd go marry me a white woman right quick too, wouldn't you? That'd be the first thing I'd want to do, make myself look good. I just feel sorry for her, bless her heart. But old Samson here, he starts messing up. And what made Samson mess up here in chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible said this. Chapter 14, verse 1, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman. Oh, brother. That did it. Wound him up right there. You want me to read you that again? You want an up-to-date book on what's happening in America and teenage psychology? Here it is. Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman. The rest is history. I know a lot of them like that. I know a lot of young men that's halfway smart till they saw a woman. And there's just something about a boy when he sees a certain girl. And I ain't never figured it out yet. I don't know if it's demons or magnetism or love at first sight or what. But it's just like something goes, oh! And he ain't worth a dime after that. They call it Cupid. They call it, I don't know what all they call it. But something sure messes that boy's head up. I mean, we used to make fun of them. We'd say, hey boy, let's go play some basketball. When they say, I can't. Now, what's the matter with you, man? I'd say I'd be ashamed. Well, I'd rather go see a girl than play ball. You used to laugh at him and laugh at him and laugh at him. That's what old Samson did. He's a big, strong guy. But he come home one day and he's just as weak. And he just sat down and he said, Mama, Mama. That's what he said. He come and told his father and mother and said, I've seen a woman. Oh, my soul. I have seen a woman. Men fall in love with what they see. Women fall in love with what they hear. That's why these pretty girls in here sit beside these ugly, wart-faced buffoons. Amen. That's right, brother. Amen. Men fall in love with what they see. That's right, brother. When a man sees a woman, oh, she's the most beautiful thing in the world. What gets a woman? He's so sweet, see? See, he talks that junk to her, see? And she's dumb enough to believe it. I mean, he told the last 15 he tried to seduce him very same words. And she's, her Cinderella complex just won't let her not believe him. And so she just believes everything that nut says. And old Samson looks at her and he says, hey, baby, oh, I've never seen nobody like you in my life. You're the most beautiful. He told that same thing to the last 10. And he goes on and he says, Mama, I got to have her. I just got to have her. I got to have her. I got to have her. The Bible said, he said, therefore get her for me. She was a Philistine. She was a different religion. She worshipped a different God. Samson's mom and daddy should have told him. They should have told him. He went strictly by her. Look, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if the only thing that attracts you to somebody is strictly their looks, you are starting off on the wrong foot to start with. Some of the best marriages you'll ever hear about were started out by people who were just friends first, and then it turned into love, and then they saw this beauty they never seen before. Usually if it starts out in puppy love, it'll lead to a dog's life. That's right, brother. Amen? And I'm telling you this morning, brother, he saw her. She had the wrong spiritual background. He didn't even know her. He didn't even know her. You can't know somebody good enough in 1 or 2 months to know you want to marry them. Let me tell you something, brother. Marriage is a lifetime contract. You're making a promise before God. You're saying, hey, I'm going to accept you for better or for worse. You're going to accept me for better or for worse. You better know what you're doing when you march down that aisle. The worst mistake you can ever make is get out here somewhere and be all hugged up and your body start feeling all kinds of thrills and say, let's get married. That's the dumbest thing you can ever think in your life. Brother, you better pray about that thing. Samson didn't do it. He just says, she's beautiful. Get her for me. I gotta have her. Listen, you girls here this morning, you hearing me? You listen to this old messed up preacher this morning. You better hear what I'm saying. I've seen a lot of water go under the bridge. I've seen people sit in my office and cry. I've had them come to my house, call my house on the telephone. Oh, Brother Danny, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And they started out just like some of you starting out, thinking, oh, I want to get married. I want to get married. You better know what you're doing when you walk that aisle to get married. Biggest step you'll ever take in your life besides getting saved. Samson didn't believe that. He just thought, I know she don't worship the same God I do. And I know, well, she's really not even the same color I am. But we'll work all that out. And it didn't last no time. Let me tell you something here this morning. Y'all listen to me. Open your eyes. It's early in the day. I'm telling you this morning, brother, listen, this stuff, I know there are some exceptions, but that's what they are, exceptions. You better flat know what you're doing before you walk down that aisle, somebody. You better flat know what you're doing. Lady called me the other day, all to pieces. 40 miles from here. She said she listened to me on radio all the time. She kept saying, I glean from your radio program. I get the good out of it. And I said, well, good, amen. She said, preacher, I just found out yesterday my husband's running around with another woman. She said, I just don't know if I... She said, I went over there and blessed him out and everything. And she said, I'm sorry, I lost control of myself. I lost my temper like that and everything. And I said, well, sister, you're human. And anybody that loves their mate, it's going to make them mad when they find out they're running around on them. She's heartbroken. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, you got to trust God. You're going to hurt. It's going to hurt. And you're going to hurt. And you're going to hurt. But you just got to trust God. That's what old Samson went through, brother. Make a long story short, he had a short courtship and a short marriage. And then he ran into the harlot. Then finally Delilah, and made another mistake. He had his hair, you know, where the Lord told him not to cut it, secret of his strength. And his wife, every day, she was betraying him. Boy, if you guys got a wife that'll betray you, I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. You need prayer. You need help. Oh, it's a blessing. The Bible said a virtuous woman, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. How awful it be to be married to a woman that you know you don't even know where she's been, who she's been with, where she's at. You have to question everything she says. What a horrible way to live. That's where Samson... But I tell you, bless your heart this morning, Samson made a start. And listen, the bad thing about Samson is he got out of that first relationship and he thought, help me now, he thought everything was going to be all right in that second relationship and it turned out as bad or worse. What happens to a lot of people is they get out of a relationship. Maybe they get divorced or something like that. And they say, oh boy, I want to do it right this time. And they jump the gun and get ahead of God. and they wind up with somebody as bad or worse than they had to start with. You better be careful about that kind of thing. What happens, your flesh runs away with you. You have got to get it under subjection. You've got to get in this book. The only hope you've got is lay on this altar and pray and beg God. You young people, I'd go to the altar every service if that's what it took. I'd lay around here and I'd pray, oh God, God, don't let that happen to me. God directing my life. God show me. I don't want to have to be starting all over again every year like Samson did. I'll show you another fellow right quick who started over. I won't take time to ask you to turn to this for time's sake, but Peter. Peter started over. Peter was a great man. Peter walked with the Lord when he'd done miracles, raised the dead. He even walked on water one time. But Peter got out of touch with God. Peter got backslid. Denied the Lord. Do you know that? He sure did. He fell asleep when he shouldn't have been sleeping. He tried to kill a man. Followed Jesus afar off, warmed himself by the enemy's fire, and cursed and denied that he even knew God. The Bible said that night, after he'd done all that cussing in that restaurant, that waitress, that he came out, and Jesus had come down from Pilate's hall or somewhere, and they met face to face, and their eyes just locked. And the Bible said the Lord looked upon Peter. Oh, when he did that, Peter's heart just broke. He remembered all those good times that him and the Lord had had. He remembered the days when it just seemed like him and Jesus. Oh God, I'm sorry. Oh God, I've made a mess out of my life. And it wasn't long after that till the Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost. Somebody jumped up and started preaching like a maniac. And thousands of people got saved. And they looked up there and they said, who is that? And they said, that's that same preacher that was over there cussing a few weeks ago in the restaurant. You know what Peter did? He started all over. He started over. You say, well, preacher, I really tried to live right one time and I just messed up. Well, start all over again. You say, Brother Danny, my heart used to really be in the church, but I just got backslid. Put it back in. Pray till it gets back in. Pray to have a burden for sinners. Ask God to give you a new desire, a zeal to read His Word. Start all over. Listen, it's a fight, brother. This is a fight. You're not just naturally going to live right. It's a fight to stay on the right track and stay right with God. Some of you here this morning need to make a brand new, fresh start. You need to ask forgiveness for all your sins and ask God just to take your life and just wipe it all clean and take every dirty, rotten, sinful thing you've ever done and just wipe it and make it clean and start all over here again this morning. Some people that started over. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're one of them that said, Brother Danny, I'd like to here on New Year's Day start all over again. Have a brand new life starting today. You can do it. Jesus said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He confess your sins, he's faithful and just. You can start out clean and walk out them doors this morning, your past forgiven and your future spotless. Start all over again. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. As we pray just a few seconds this morning, let me ask you a question. You need a fresh start. You need a new start. You say, preacher, I'd like to start out on the altar. Beginning of this new year, I'm going to be good to my husband, to my wife, my kids, my daddy, my mama. I'm going to start out anew and afresh. I've let a few things slip in my life that shouldn't be there. Maybe your time, maybe your talents, maybe your music, maybe your habits, maybe your, I don't know, maybe there's just something in your life. You need to start out afresh and anew this morning. Come on, just get out of your seat and come to the altar. Don't be ashamed, man. This is the most important thing you could ever do. Get your life really, really, really right with God. Father, do something here this morning. May we start out new and fresh. Oh God. Oh Lord.
Have your way, Father. Move on hearts. God, help us. Help us to start out new and fresh this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.